edified and encouraged together. Let this time be profitable. Lord, make us acutely aware of the Word of God that we're handling. It's not our idea, but it's eternal in the heavens. Make us able ministers, Lord, of your Word in the New Testament. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you. Amen. The question has been, what is truth? And then we moved from that to this truth being in the inward parts. What is truth is something that society has always been in some form or another taken up with, interested in. But this truth in the inward parts is what concerns the church of Jesus Christ. Because the church is to be, and if it is the true church, it is the ground and the pillar of truth upon the earth. It can only be the ground and the pillar of truth upon the earth if this truth is in the inward parts of God's people. And I brought a little newspaper clipping article with me today, and I'm going to read this because I want to take up a social issue. But I want to read this, and I want to use it to illustrate and to give example of the same things that is going on in the church. The same attitude. And this is about transgender people finding hope. That's the title of it. That's Bruce Jenner. I don't know Bruce Jenner. I have no idea who Bruce Jenner is, but reading this article, I understand that probably a lot of people know Bruce Jenner. He's a high-profile person, I guess. Well, this is him. And this article is about him and his sex change. And it says here about 16.9 million viewers tuned in Friday night. That was two Friday nights ago. As Jenna, who is now 65 years old, told ABC News' Diane Sawyer that he is transitioning to a woman. And it was 2020's biggest audience in 15 years. Wow. So people was very interested in listening to this program. And it talks about the struggles that these people have. Jenner's announcement garnered, well, I'll just so you'll understand. Now, activists and experts hope the huge audience Jenner's announcement garnered will look more deeply at the struggles transgender people face, as well as the legal and political changes needed to support them. Jenner said, "We risk losing everything and everyone when we transition. Some of us lose jobs that we are very good at, loved ones we care about. We're evicted from the homes we live in and face a crippling depression that can often lead to suicide." That's pitiful, but it's true. In this interview, he is just simply speaking what these people deal with, and not just transgender people, I'm sure, but homosexuals, lesbians. Unemployment, family rejection, is very significant barriers to health care. And these can all be addressed through policy, he says. Brown says some insurance companies deny coverage for gender. Language here is quite polished. But our society is masters at calling things by words that seem easy. But insurance companies don't often cover gender reassignment surgeries and hormones and that transgender people may have to travel farther to find a doctor who, if they want to use a woman's bathroom, needs to be protected. And all of this is a part of the complications that arise for these people. And this person named Finney Bolin is board chair of an association with the acronyms GLAAD, I don't know what that means, GLAAD. And the last paragraph is this: "We have to fix society," Bolin says. "It's great that Jenner is out, but we need transgender senators. We need transgender Nobel Prize winners. The work will never be done until we are seen as normal." Just average. Normal is normal. Well, you know, you can feel for what some human beings go through because of their lifestyle. They do end up with depression. They become suicidal. And when you see that a transgender or a homosexual committed suicide on the news, and they show you their life story, how they grew up as a little boy or a little girl, and it just seems like it's a pity. And people can, that has any human sympathy at all, can sympathize with this lost humanity. But here we have this idea that these people have become victims of a society that is wrong in the way that they look at them. And they want society to make them feel good about themselves, you see, because of the rejections that they suffer and the seemingly inequality that they suffer is a fault of society. That's the idea. That's the thinking. And in your colleges, I'm sure that is very prevalent. That is prominent in the way that the minds of young people are trained to think. Joe thinks I need a drink of water. For those listening by this microphone, I figured I better clarify that. A drink of water. But listen, that's the same, and it's the very same thing as me, 56 years old, divorcing my wife Deborah and marrying a 21-year-old girl. And me not wanting to feel any repercussions from that. I don't want to be made to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to be shunned. I want my daughters to keep loving me. I don't want my daughters to lose respect for me. I don't want them to judge me, but I want them to be understanding. And I certainly don't want to lose the relationship, the influence that I have over my grandchildren. Because if all this happens to me, I will feel depressed, and I might become suicidal. And there's no difference. There's no difference. In me wanting to go my own way and do the thing that is wrong, ungodly, it's not the way of truth, but it's also destructive towards society itself in the whole, and not want anybody to make me feel bad about myself, to treat me in any way, and poor me. Well, I read that not to take up a social issue, but off last week talking about, has the facts about Jesus, and it's a third brand of Christianity. And just to capture quickly, truth, that's what this lesson is about. Truth does make people free, but will cost people everything. And Jesus said, count the cost. Truth is eternal, and it will never change. Truth can be scary, and it is a threat to those that want to go their own way. Amen. We are not saved by having truths, but by becoming true. Truth, if received, not twisted, not watered down, not compromised in any way, will transform people's lives. Because truths was given to us not just to inform us, but to transform us. Yeah. Now, the opposite of this is having information. And we have a lot of self-proclaimed Christians that have all of this information. But 1 John 2 and 4, God's word says, he that saith, truth is more than, because they do have knowledge. In that way, they do know him. They have the knowledge. Is a liar. And the truth is not where? In him. We said last week that people used to be, they were in and out. And I told you the conversation that Joe had. But now it seems there is a third way. It used to be male and female. And that was a given. It used to be a third species. A mixture of male and female. And the same thing is going on in the church. There's a mixture of those that are in and out. The world recognizes it anyways. I don't believe God does. Because truth is very finely tuned. Or alter it in any way. And have it honor God or do. Before he left. About the universe. And how finely tuned the universe was. And so amazing. Or whether it's the heavens above us. It's just an amazing thing. And so finely tuned that if you alter it by one moment or one degree, it'll change our existence. And the whole universe will become a place where it's, that's God's showing us how finely tuned Son is, including the truth of his word. Third way or mixture in the church. Stop a moment and say this without added emotion. Because third way or mixture that is in the church is just as of male and female in the world. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. In the church demands to be accepted and respected. And that's the pressure that's put on God's people. God's people are yielding to that pressure that's being put on. And that is one of the very reasons why and why it's expedient to find strengthened and edified and encouraged to hold to what they do. to give in and let down and be. Brother Steve, last Sunday, God, you said something about a third way. You said about that. I asked Joe, and he couldn't quite remember enough of it.
That recent church 100 years in three waves, where Azusa Street Revival, they call that the first wave, with the revival of Pentecost, and then in the 50s and 60s, with the charismatic influences, which was more of Roman Catholicism and Pentecostalism kind of being married. They call that the second wave. And now, a lot of them agree, we're in this third wave, where spiritual gifts and manifestations aren't really bound to you believing in Pentecost, but it's kind of apart from that. So it's not necessarily Roman Catholicism or Pentecost or charismatic, but it's really all inclusive. So any of the doctrines of sanctification and holiness and doctrines that guide the life of the Spirit in the context of Pentecostalism, none of that's necessary to manifest.
Okay, so the Spirit, because truth by believers, believers, and the devil is a believer. To try to say things in a way these days that maybe we're not used to hearing, but to capture the truth of it, the devil is a believer. He witnessed it. He saw it firsthand. He's an eyewitness just like the apostles. You, brothers and sisters, God's people treat these others, this other form of Christianity, any different. They are victims. And how? Because we have an attitude to punish them, to prove something. No, we love the truth, which is Jesus Christ, that is truth. And so there's a lot of things that we can't be a part of, because the Spirit in us convicts us to be what others would call a good, loving Christian. Pressing hard, and it's causing a lot of people that are, and that is unwed babies within church families, children or grandchildren, and then they want to give them a baby shower to celebrate, ultimately hurt them and all of society. And we can't go, because we would violate our conscience and what we know to be true, to go and attend and be a part of that and support that, and they don't understand it. And they ridicule you and false accuse you. Well, did not we say that truth has a cost attached to it? Because it is so profound, it is powerful. And if we have truth in the inward parts, then we are indeed a force on this earth that the Bible calls salt and light. Salt and light. Salt preserves. Oh, yeah. And light shines in the darkness. And when you're asleep, you don't like somebody shining a light in your eye. When you're asleep spiritually and somebody preaches the gospel and the truth, it's going to be very agitating. Yeah. Well, Matthew 18:7, we're accused of shunning people, and nobody wants to shun somebody. Right. And a lot of that is a lot of thinking. It's unchristian to do that. Are you more righteous than God? And when I'm speaking to you that are here, speaking to all of Christendom, they have me hooked up. And I'm sharing with you. Matthew 18:17, in the church, refuses to repent, let him and a publican. So, well, yeah, that we have to show an outward affection towards everybody in that we are cast. We do love, and that's why sometimes we bear the cross to speak what is right. View or thinking is that we have to be careful that we do not make these people uncomfortable by what we say. When people went against what the church and Grammy and Grampy believed, when it come to any sin, it was uncomfortable. But now you're the bad one for making them feel uncomfortable. Because they know how dogmatic you are. They don't understand. But there is another spirit, who is a blinding spirit, so they cannot see the truth behind your motive. Somebody in the church refuses to repent. He's to be the same Jesus. 3 verses before said, Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. It's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Well then, is that a conflicting attitude that we're dealing with here? No, it's the almighty eternal wisdom of God and His love. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Yeah. And He don't want that little leaven to cause many to go away and be lost. So, when it came to the religious people of Jesus' day, He appeared to be hostile to them above everyone else, above the sinner, the adulterer, the drunker. And He said to them, He confronted them for what they were. And these was the religious people. These was the people that if you lived back in that day, you would say these was God's men. These was holy men. And those are the ones that you'd go to for counsel. But Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. And the works of your father you do. They were confronted with the truth. And that confrontation had different effects upon individuals. And we can't help whether it's a positive or negative effect. We have to do what Jesus did and speak the truth. When David was confronted with the truth, he cried out. He cried out for mercy and he magnified God in his heart and he told God, I know you desire truth in the inward part. And Pilate, when he asked the question, fled, didn't wait for the answer, and Ananias dropped dead. All confronted by the truth of God, eternal truth. Truth that is cannot be denied. Truth that has power. And the Bible says, and fear came upon all them that heard about these things. Do you think that fear might have worked in them for God's good? Yeah. Well, the axe was laid to the root of the tree. That's why Ananias dropped dead, because the time had come when the axe was going to be laid to the root, and every branch or every tree that didn't bring forth good fruit was going to be hewn down. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, tells me that obeying the truth is what makes us true. And you and I can obey the truth without repentance. We know that the Bible says in the parable that Jesus gives of the sower about the wheat and the tares, that to grow together, the wheat is being the end of the world. But let me just tell you something that you already know and just confirm it with you. That's not talking about wheat and within the organism that's supposed to be the ground and the pillar of truth. The parable says A man sowed good seed, sowed tares among the wheat. Is the world, not the church. So he's not saying to allow this mixture or this leaven to come in and dilute and have an influence to cause people to err and stray from this finely tuned truth. The enemy in the parable is the devil, and the tares are his children. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. Let the tares and the wheat grow together, lest while you pluck up the tares, you root up the wheat. But at the end of the world, at the harvest time, I'm going to send my angels, and he'll gather up the wheat, bundle it to be put into the barn, and the angels will gather up the tares and bundle the tares to be burned. So you see, it was never really intended that there be such a mixture allowed. What am I saying so you don't misunderstand me? The sinner is to fill the pews. The backsliders are to fill the pews. And we'll leave it with the two kinds, those that are in and those that are out. But we're not to allow there to be a mixture accepted and used,
right,
so that they can spread,
right,
their poison. They're untruths. So I said last week, the remedy for many miserable people is a good dose of truthfulness.
Right.
And they are miserable.
I know a lot of miserable people.
And that's because they're hopeless. People trying to find hope. And a lot of these people that sit in the churches just need a good dose of the truth.
Yes.
It's the only thing that can help them. It might hurt them.
See, my dad would say that.
But lots of times you cannot help somebody without hurting them. Sometimes the best thing to say is, you don't love God. You love the world, and you're spotted by the world, and you're drunk with worldliness. You don't love God. You love yourself. You love the world. You're an enemy of God. You fornicate on God, and your influence in the church is leaven, and your life is equal to spiritual incest in the church. Wow. That's forceful. I wrote that down so I could say it right. It's no more forceful than the words that Jesus used, calling them whited sepulchres. But the man of God has to pay a price for using those kind of words. He will. And that's why many avoid it. They just avoid it. It's the easier thing to do. You're either seeking for truth or you're avoiding the truth, wanting to go on and being deceived. Luke 12:51 through 53 says this: suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. Jesus is asking the question. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. Fourth, there shall be five in one house divided. Shall be divided against the son against the father, the in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against... Count the cost. Are you able? Do you realize the verses that I... Mother or father that loves your children and your grandchildren, father and your grampy and grammy, do you realize what this feels like? You can't follow me unless first you're willing to pick up your cross for me. I've got to be first. You got to put me first. It's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
When the Spirit of truth here came upon the church for the first time, Titus 1:1, of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of the truth, which is after godliness. He identified the truth that he was talking about. The knowledge of the truth. What truth? Which truth? That truth which is after godliness. All truth is an expression of God and his nature. He is the source of truth. And if you refuse the source of truth, then you have what we have in the world today. A world that argues and says there is no absolute truth. And you can't blame them for coming to that conclusion. If you do away with the source of truth, it's a logical conclusion to come to. There is no absolute truth that anybody can say is right for everyone. 2 Timothy 4 tells about the time when the church would not endure sound doctrine, and that they would turn their ears away from truth. I wonder if we're living in that time. Yeah. Brother Alva Philbrook was talking to a man that was a Christian man just a week ago. The Christian man said, I sin willfully every day. I sin willfully every day. And if God doesn't like it, when I get to heaven, he can take me to the woodshed. Good question. Well, how did this man get so far off track?
Right.
How did he get so far off? Well, like Senior Pastor Reynolds used to explain to us, when you alter something slightly, 1 degree, and you stretch it out for a long ways or a lot of years, you're way off your course. You ain't even going to come close to hitting the mark. And that's how people get so far off. And so that is why we have to be very careful not to accept the little foxes. Because those little foxes spoil the vine. And God is concerned about the end of the thing, not whether it's going to cause problems for you and I today or not. I don't want to feel bad today. God is looking at the end of the thing, the final outcome. Would to God that when people came to church, they were confronted by God the Holy Ghost. And they would realize that it wasn't Nathan, David. It wasn't Peter, Ananias. It's not Paul or Apollos. It's not Brother Jerry. It's not Brother Steve. It's God. God spoke to me. Not just words. Not just more facts from the Bible. God knew me and he pointed at me. And he revealed what was in my heart. Would to God, people confronted by God the Holy Ghost, the truth. Truth in the inward parts. Turn to Luke 21. Luke 21. Verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So you see, I believe, and it's not a cliche, but it's an urgent cry from my heart and from your heart, that we need a revival. James, Pastor James Reynolds said many times, if my preaching alone could bring a revival, we would have had revival a long time ago. But we need the Spirit of God's Word to speak through men pointedly for the moment that we're in and the people that are present. Not a sermon, but a word from God. And that is what we see here. Settle it in your hearts. Now this is talking about being delivered up to the courts, to judges. But there's also a truth here for the church. And I want you to know that I know the value of preparation and study. But that preparation, without something going on inside my spirit on my knees, waiting on God for leading, for direction, begging Him to have some control over my thoughts, is all just intellectual ability to take the book and speak from it. So here we see that there is such a thing as God the Holy Ghost into speaking. We need that. And that's John MacArthur. I just really got acquainted with him recently by looking at some messages, trying to understand a certain little bit. And I know that John MacArthur is a very, very well-respected man, and I believe he is, and I think that he is a very good Bible expositor. But I want to just tell you this. While I was watching him preach, he said this. He said, nothing is going to happen here. Ending up there, teaching doctrine. If you're looking for something else, it's not going to happen here, and you know that. It was about being deceived, about seducing spirits and false doctrines. So we believe in. But what I saw when I watched that and what I heard, he was denying something that God had given the church. Expound and bring doctrine forth. Nothing's going to happen here, and you don't even bother. All you're going to get is me. Well, he didn't. In that statement, there could have been some pride. Letter of the law can be as dead as the Ten Commandments. The Testament. That is why God came to bridge a gap so that he could. He is the Comforter. He's a Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. It's his church. It's his ministry that is so different between the Old Testament, because God lives in. And it is truths. But are these truths in the inward parts? 1 Corinthians 1:29 says this. God has done things in a way that no flesh can glory in his presence. Paul's talking unto you, the testimony of God. Not with. Well, what else did you have, Paul, when you declared the testimony of God? Or not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. so that your faith would not stand in men. That is what happens whenever there is a revival and you read about it. God comes down. And he does what men cannot do, even through preaching. God comes down. And whether or not it is a real work of God, or whether it is a work of other spirits, or just men's emotion, can be judged and determined by the results. And we, in Pentecost, look very favorable and speak much about the revival in Los Angeles at the turn of the century, called Azusa Street. If you're interested, and I mentioned this before, there is an interview that was given back in the early 70s of two survivors of that Azusa Street revival, an older black man and an older black woman. They were there at that revival, and they were interviewed in 1972, I believe. And I guess if you went to look for it, you'd just type in survivors of Azusa Street revival, you'd probably find it. But in this interview, they was at the spot where the old mission was, and it was an empty lot, vacant lot at that time of the interview, but they were there, and these two men was interviewing them. And one of the men said, "Is it true that this revival broke up over doctrine?" And the old lady just quickly said, "Yes," but then she kind of, if you're watching close, she said yes, but then she kind of, she said this to clarify her yes, I think, because there's nothing wrong with doctrine. We need, well, the church in America needs more of it. She said, "Well, men got proud and thought they could do it better than the Holy Spirit." Do what better than the Holy Spirit? Well, lead the servant. Gentle dove of God. The Holy Ghost is depicted as, the Holy Ghost knows the heart of the congregation. And he knows whether we do, and we can do it without him. We can have our great song service because we got a talented song. The Holy Ghost knows what's in men's heart. If the preacher knows apparent authority and power, well, you can do that with, you see? And so she said men got proud and thought they could do it better than the Holy Ghost. And that's what broke it up. Well, just to tell you a little bit, they were so aware that God the Holy Ghost was there in those meetings that, and they wanted God to have his way because they knew that God could do it better than they could, because God had knowledge that they didn't have. God knew all the secret things that they didn't know. And so they were very careful to make sure that God the Holy Ghost understood that they wanted him to conduct the meetings. And that he had free course and anything that they may have had. And God ministered and moved. And you know the results. Proved moving of God's Spirit on the earth in Azusa Street. And the eyewitness and enjoyed the services just like the adults. But the lady said the tongues was a real language. The tongues be a real language, not just gibberish. And people, peace was there and heard these people speak in their languages. And she says, would prophesy. And they said it was just like the children set up and enjoyed the meetings. But she said, oh, the love of God was there. How we loved one another. We did not see color, skin color. Everybody was brothers and sisters. But she said that evil spirits once in a while tried to come in And she said that when the spirit was not right in the place, Brother Seymour, which lived on the right hand, upstairs, right-hand side, left-hand side was for prayer room, and there were always somebody there, she said. Brother Seymour would start stomping his feet from upstairs if the spirit was not right. And she said if that didn't take care of it, he would come down and start praying, and everything would just settle down. So you see, men and women of God, spiritual people, that the Holy Ghost has taught and caused them to have knowledge beyond others, they know what's going on. They understand the work of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, and they also understand the working of evil, unclean spirits, and how the devil is always present to take advantage and to not allow that. And so today, in closing, we have the same thing going on in the church as what's going on in the world, and it's causing confusion. Yeah. But it sounds like the same spirit behind both. Because it's having the same effect. And people are not wanting to live holy lives, but they don't want any repercussions from it. They want you and me to not make them feel uncomfortable. And they want to come in and be a part, just like the rest of us, and feel perfectly comfortable. And those are the people. Those are the people that are the same as the religious people of Jesus' day. And Jesus was very frank with them and spoke to confront that religious spirit. And so today, I think that we have to be careful that we don't come to the conclusion that it's okay for the wheat and the tares to grow together in the church. The living organism, the body of Jesus Christ in the church on this earth. Because if we allow that, the church loses authenticity and loses power that we cannot attain except God gives it to us. We can beg Him for a move of God. We can beg Him for the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit. We can want them through the education of the Holy Ghost, a missionary to China. He never saw ministering to these Chinese people, never saw a wet eye, never saw a tear. But when things are right, when he got things right, when things are right with Lee, and his preaching wasn't even any different, became changed because there was repentance there. We need a move of God. I listened to my father preach by way of a cassette tape. My brother probably recorded it. And he preached, I think, last Sunday. And so I listened to him preach last night after we got home, about 10 o'clock. And that's the thrust of his message that I heard last night. Because he understands that we need a moving of God. To be so infilled with power. And the truth is, we have power. The truth is, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Don't deny the facts. Right. Call her Nana. Joe says she didn't like it when the song was sung. She didn't like it because she says the facts are, you don't. Don't ignore the facts. Deal with the facts. Until the facts line up with the truth. God bless you.